Part 4, Chapter 1. It had been a very bad winter in the mountains. Snowslides had early blocked the passes into the high meadow. Chrissy sat, quietly and forlornly, in front of the council in the courthouse. The wind whined and moaned through the gaps in the walls, and the fire that had been built in the center of the room sent harried palls of smoke into the faces of the council. Parson Staffer lay very ill in a nearby hut. The winter had sapped what little vitality he had, and his place was taken by the older Jimson man they were now calling Parson. Jimson was flanked by an elder named Clay and by Brown Limper Staffer, who seemed to be acting as a council member, even though he was far too young and club-footed. He had begun to sit in for Parson Staffer when he became ill and had just stayed on, grown into a council member now. The three men sat on an old bench. Chrissy, across the fire from them, was not paying much attention. She had had a horrible nightmare 2 nights ago, a nightmare that had yanked her, sweating, out of sleep, and left her trembling ever since. She had dreamed that Johnny had been consumed in fire. He had been calling her name, and it still sounded in her ears.
"It's just plain foolishness,"
Parson Jimson was saying to her.
"There are three young men who want to marry you, and you have no right whatever to refuse them. The village population is dwindling in size. Only 30 have survived the winter. This is not a time to be thinking only of yourself."
Chrissy numbly realized he was talking to her. She made an effort to gather the words in. Something about population. Two babies had been born that winter, and two babies had died. The young men had not driven many cattle up from the plains before the pass closed, and the village was half-starved. If Johnny had been here...
"When spring comes,"
said Chrissy,
"I'm going down on the plains to find Johnny."
This was no shock to the council. They had heard her say it several times since Johnny left. Brown Limper looked through the smoke at her. He had a faint sneer on his thin lips. The council tolerated him because he didn't ever say much and because he brought them water and food when meetings were too long. But he couldn't resist.
"We all know Johnny must be dead. The monsters must have got him."
Jimson and Clay frowned at him. He had been the one who brought to their attention the fact that Chrissy refused to marry any of the young men. Clay wondered whether Brown Limper didn't have a personal stake in this. Chrissy rallied from her misery.
"His horses didn't come home."
"Maybe the monsters got them too,"
said Brown Limper.
"Johnny did not believe there were any monsters. He went to find the great village of the legend."
"Oh, there are monsters, all right,"
said Jimson.
"It is blasphemy to doubt the legends."
"Then why don't they come here?"
"The mountains are holy."
"The snow closed the passes before the horses could come home. That is, if the monsters didn't get them too."
The older men looked at him, frowning him to silence.
"Chrissy, you are to put aside this foolishness and permit the young men to court you. It is quite obvious that Johnny Good Boy Tyler is gone."
"When the year has gone by, I shall go down to the plains."
"Chrissy,"
said Clay,
"this is simply a suicidal idea."
Chrissy looked into the fire. Johnny's scream echoed in her ears from the nightmare. It was completely true what they said. She did not want to live if Johnny was dead. And then the sound of the scream died away, and she seemed to hear him whisper her name. She looked up with a trace of defiance.
"He is not dead."
The three council members looked at each other. They had not prevailed. They would try again some other day. They ignored her and fell to discussing the fact that Parson Staffer wanted a funeral when he died. There wouldn't be much in the way of food, and there were problems of digging in the frozen ground. Of course, he was entitled to a funeral, for he had been parson and maybe even mayor for many years. But there were problems. Chrissy realized she was dismissed, and she got up, eyes red with more than smoke. and walked to the courthouse door. She wrapped the bear skin more tightly about her and looked up at the wintry sky. When the constellation was in that same place in spring, she would go. The wind was cutting keen, and she pulled the bear skin even tighter. Johnny had given her the bear skin, and she fingered it. She would get busy and make him some new buckskin clothes. She would prepare packs. She would not let them eat the last two horses. When the time came, she would be all ready to go. And she would go. A blast of wind from High Peak chilled her, mocked her. Nevertheless, when the time came, she would go.